I'm Dr. Drew. A couple years ago, my wife, Susan, encouraged me to get screened for prostate cancer.
I even made the appointment for him.
And so I went, and they found out I did have prostate cancer, and we had caught it in time.
We were lucky.
Yeah, men, don't put it off like I did. Get it checked.
And ladies, even if you're married to a doctor, men are men. Go with your instincts. Help them take the first step.
And for more information, visit the Prostate Cancer Foundation at pcf.org.
His health depends on it.
Buying a car can be a stressful experience, but TrueCar is changing car buying forever. Yes, every day, TrueCar users receive negotiation-free, guaranteed savings. Some features not available in all states. In the first 3 months of this year, over 126,000 cars were sold by the TrueCar Certified Dealer Network. TrueCar users save an average of $3,078 off MSRP. When you're ready to buy a car, just follow these three steps. Go to TrueCar.com, find out what other people paid for the car you're looking for, then register at TrueCar.com to see the upfront pricing information and lock in your savings. And the third step is simple. Just print out your TrueCar savings certificate and take it to the TrueCar certified dealer for a better, hassle-free car buying experience. Every day, TrueCar.com users receive negotiation-free guaranteed savings. Save time, save money, and never overpay. Visit TrueCar.com today. That's TrueCar.com.
This is Corolla Digital. Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandate. Get it on. Did I get it right? I can never say it the way Adam says it. This is his opening.
What does it mean?
That voice is Mindy Sterling, who will be representing Adam Carolla today. Maybe if you said it, it would sound better.
Well, get it on.
Gotta get it on.
Gotta get it on.
Mandate.
Mandate. Get it on.
No choice but to get it on.
No choice but to get it on. And still have no meaning.
No feeling. Nothing. Saying the words doesn't somehow pull
all.
The emotion out.
No.
Okay. So that's how he is. Well, someday we'll ask him. It's just one of his openings.
So you don't even know why he says that?
Do you know, Chris?
I don't, but I know there's a reason. I bet a bunch of fans are going to be tweeting you very soon.
So Okay. Is it like the same reason that Jerry Lewis does the telephone?
No.
Nobody knows.
It's not quite that random. Because we ended Loveline for years with Mahalo. And the reason we did that is he and I were talking one day, and we'd both been to Hawaii, and we remarked, you know, as Southern Californians, there's a deep connection with Hawaii. A lot of people, our friends, would get over there. And we always heard about aloha and hang loose and things like that. Never heard mahalo until you get there, and there's mahalo on everything.
Yes.
Every trash can, McDonald's banner, mahalo. And I thought it was like trash goes here or something, or be sure to put your trash away or something, because it seemed to be associated with trash.
Oh, I see.
Like, thank you for putting your
trash here, yes.
And he thought the same thing. And the other thing we thought was bizarre is that when you get on the plane to go to Hawaii the first time, at the end of every announcement, they say, thank you and mahalo. They don't say thank you or mahalo. They say thank you and mahalo.
Thank you for the people that don't know what mahalo is.
Exactly. Here's how, thank you and
That's
thank
funny.
You. And so both and I thought that was so weird and so peculiar that we wanted to bring mahalo over here. So he brought mahalo over here as a way to say thank you.
Do you still end the show with mahalo?
Pretty much, don't we, Chris? Do we still?
Okay.
Yeah, so that started like 20 years
nice,
ago on Love
though.
One.
Yeah. I love it.
And the Get It On, I'm going to guess it's a movie reference of some weird type that was obscure in the 70s and disturbing to us.
And no one has asked what this means.
Is Gary here? He's yelling
I'm surprised that has not been an issue.
Gary, you know what we're talking about here?
It's something that Adam liked from songs back in the 70s and 80s.
Yeah, just I knew it was 70s. No, it's 70s.
It's,
I guarantee
it's
some weird 70s
just
thing.
The idea of Get It On being a phrase that was that was acceptable. He just likes it.
So it's not from a specific song.
Well, it is because he and I bonded over T-Rex once.
I think it's from three or four specific songs.
Do you know what I'm talking about, T-Rex?
I do. I believe I recall this, but refresh my memory.
Bang a gong, get it on. Get it on, bang a gong. Remember that song?
No.
Mindy, where were you in 1973?
I have to hear the song. If you
Gary, if you say the line T-Rex.
Or try to sing it to me.
Get it on, bang a gong.
Get it on. I have to hear it.
Well, here, don't worry. Chris will have his magic. It'll be played within seconds.
Because for some reason, you singing it is not... Oh, yes.
Remember this song?
Now I do.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
Yeah. And...
okay, I guess I didn't know that those were the words.
Well, I'm right. It takes a while to get to that. Here it is.
And who sings this?
T-Rex, right? See, I know a little something about that.
Yeah, good guy.
We haven't got to the refrain yet.
Everyone, just enjoy. Clap your hands if you're in the car.
Occasionally, this is actually one of the better things the 70s produced. He was playing
everywhere. I like this song.
Yeah, this one's not bad. Let's put it on our next album.
Here we go.
See?
Oh, my God. I probably was singing something else when I sang this.
What would you have said, you think?
You know, it's one of those things where you go, you know, get it on.
I always thought it was like All Night Long.
Bang along.
Get it on all night long.
Yeah, maybe that, I'll bet that's what I was saying.
That's what I thought
singing.
It was, for sure.
Yeah, because I always would get the words wrong.
I think the ones that I got completely screwed up with all the Boy George songs in the 80s. Karma Chameleon or whatever the hell. I don't know what I was singing then.
I think we all do. And it's fun. And then when you find out what they really are, you're
spoiled
incredibly
it.
Embarrassed.
Yeah, embarrassed and spoiled.
And spoiled it all.
So, all right. All right,
cut it out. No.
Okay, so first I've got to introduce Mindy properly and plug her Twitter handle to everybody. It is Ms. M-S Mindy, M-I-N-D-Y, Sterling, S-T-E-R-L-I-N-G. Ms. Mindy Sterling, be on the website, obviously. She needs Twitter support because her son Max tells me, who's sitting outside listening, that she is Twitter impaired.
I don't understand it. I never understood it. I don't still understand it. And someone said, you have to be on it. If anything, it's great for networking. So every now and then I try to go on it and try to say something like funny and it doesn't come out. And then the hashtag stuff, I just so am lame at.
I'm a little weird on that too. I can't quite get that either.
But do you actually use your Twitter?
Yes. I try to do twice a day, at least a retweet or something.
And what will you say? Things like, what?
Thank you to somebody who said something nice.
Well, I'll say that too. We'll try to get back with someone. But you know how people write things and they come up with great funny stuff or bits or plug things like crazy? And it's very confusing to me.
You mean other comedians?
Yeah, I guess so. And actors
they're funny.
And stuff.
Yeah, they're good.
And there's so many hashtags, and there's so many at blah blah blah. And it's kind of like I just don't know. So I'm much bigger on Facebook, and I will use Facebook to ask advice, like,
hey, anybody, do you know a good place for coffee in Westwood
or Roku versus Comcast? Yeah. I get?
But who's following you there? I mean, who's seeing that?
My friends.
Your close friends, yeah.
Well, no, and then people that I have, I've accepted that I don't know, but they know nice friends of mine, so I'll go, all right, I guess I'll accept you.
Well, Facebook is mysterious to me, too, because they limit the number of people you can accept. Like, what, 1,000? Is that right?
Well, I guess I haven't reached that.
1,000?
I haven't reached that yet.
10,000 now.
Yeah. Oh, my God, really? So, in other words, if I go to someone's site and they won't accept me, that means they have 10,000 followers,
or they don't like you.
What I do, which is I originally set up my Facebook just for family and friends.
Yeah,
and it's sort of slowly creeping out into the world, slowly but surely.
So if I go to you and say,
I would accept you. For
you
sure.
Would,
yeah, for sure.
And are you like? Is it easy to find you?
What's my Drupinski MD? I got a couple Facebooks out there. The one I use, though, don't tell anybody.
Well, no, because then everybody's going to want to do that.
There's a public Facebook coming soon that's going to be important for you. So
okay, yeah. Okay,
I don't want. I want personal.
Yeah.
I want to see your personal photo albums.
I don't put stuff on Facebook. It's all. It's on Instagram.
Oh my God! That I haven't even begun to touch.
That's just throwing
up
pictures.
What's the difference? Just pictures.
It's pictures every day. Just throwing something up. You and I'll take an Instagram. Today.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't done that yet. Well, it's too crazy.
Now, tell me about your son, Max, because he, you know, you guys are the same color. And I mean that in the in the absolute
loveliest of ways.
The same exact. You both look like you dyed your hair the same color. And your skin color is precise. It's a beautiful.
What?
It's a what? What?
No, that's so interesting. No one's ever said that.
Oh, you guys have striking, beautiful color. Maybe I'm a little colorblind, so maybe it strikes me differently.
Well, his hair is fading, and it was magenta.
It's precisely.
It is so not the same color. You are completely insane.
Oh well, then I'm insane.
No, his is like that magenta, bright magenta, and mine has more of a golden auburn reddish.
Yes. We're gonna take pictures today.
And then
use Instagram. Who thinks these are the same?
Vote. Yeah. Which one? Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
But then the effect on me was that, you know, I'm. It's weird. Women are super sensitive to color, and you know, men, we lock some of the cones sometimes.
Right.
That's why we get the color blind. I have distinct color blindness, and my wife is affected by color all the time. Yeah. So I can't imagine what that's like. It must be
so.
Like,
do you see things muted when you say color blindness?
Yeah, it's light shades of red, green, brown.
What color shirt are you wearing? What do you see that as?
Blue, maybe with a little purple or red in there.
Right now, it has a purple tone, but it was blue in the other room.
Yeah, so I can see bright colors. I can see dark colors, but as you lighten them, which is again less light coming off to the eye, I lose it.
Do you know that I am Caucasian?
Yes.
Okay.
I think so.
Because it's light, so I didn't know.
Sometimes I have to fill and make assumptions
okay,
about things.
Cool. All right.
So, but to my eye, you guys have beautiful coloration, both of you.
And
it struck my eye as the same. So
thank you. That's very sweet.
People don't say it. I can't believe people don't say
that. No one has ever said that. People have said, oh, you look alike. And the thing is, he is adopted. So I find that funny. But I think that's because we probably are so close and you start to pick up each other's
mannerisms and things.
Yeah. But he's adopted. He was adopted at birth, and he knows that this is no big surprise.
Max,
can you imagine? Oh my God,
here.
Max! I'm sorry.
I forgot he was listening. okay.
What?
So Gary just grabbed me and said, "Do a more complete intro on Mindy." We you and I got off into the world.
Oh, I'm
here.
Sorry, we did.
All right.
Go talk about.
So
me.
All right. So Mindy is a famous comedic actress. You would probably know her. I am very excited about her being. Steve's mom. Was it Steve's mom? Yes. Steve's mom in Legit.
Oh, yes.
Dan Beckedahl's character.
Yes, and also a DJ.
And DJ
yes,
Qualls'
I was
character.
The
mom of those two. And,
yeah.
And we are all devastated that show is
thank
off.
You.
We are pissed. We are,
I heard,
whole,
you know, I heard Jim.
Cast.
I heard Jim. Jim's interview with you the other day. And, yeah, just hearing him talk about it and hearing him how sad we all are. And still, I mean, I still will, like, you know, text those guys and go, I really miss you. This is...
It was a little family. I get it. And the ancillary folks that had the cognitive impairments and stuff were part of that family and knew it. Rodney.
Yeah, Nick Daly.
Nick.
We couldn't wait to see each other. It was so comfortable. It was so much fun. Jim was so delightful and funny and, you know, everyone.
Well-written, well-executed.
So different.
Yeah.
I love dark.
Yeah.
I love dark comedy. I love things that are a little off. I don't like traditional comedy. And so this was something that...
Well, your character had something to sink your teeth into. She was
it was
awesome.
Like the best thing for me. I mean, I loved everything he was giving me. And he had said that there were some other ideas that he had if the show was picked up again.
Go beyond hoarder to God knows what.
Yes. And I just wish there was another place. You know, look, they brought back Arrested Development.
They brought back Family Guy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Somebody take a look at this again and go, whoa, I this needs to be resurrected. This needs to be.
Even if Netflix or something, I guarantee you would have a following. Guarantee.
I do too. People now come up to me and tell me how upset they were and what a fan of the show. And, you know, look, it's not for everybody. So.
Well, no show is, but it could be for everybody.
I don't think it was much
the way The Family Guy wasn't for everybody when it started.
Yes, and now.
Yeah. And John, what's John's last name? The from Cheers.
Oh, John Ratzenberger.
John Ratzenberger.
Yes.
The irony in that Jim told me a story once on this podcast a year or so ago, maybe when I first had him on. There's a really interesting piece of history here is that Jim and his brother, when they were kids, used to do John Ratzenberger's impressions for him. Do you know the story?
Yeah.
And now here he is hiring him and putting him on the show.
He does. Jim does the best John Ratzenberger. You know, impression. And he would do it until, and even when he came on the show, he would do it. It's hysterical. He's so, and he really wanted him. So how lovely that was.
And the woman that ends up playing his mom was the farmer's wife from Babe, who's a famous Australian actress.
Yes.
Who the hell knew that? And he ended up getting her for the show. I mean, he just got what a cast.
Well, I know. And everybody wanted to do it. And in the second season, I mean, you did it.
Yeah. Oh, I loved it.
Everybody was like, oh, my God. They were so excited to be a part of it.
Yeah.
And he did get very interesting, offbeat Carrie Fisher to do it. And it was like, come on. There's not a whole lot of stuff like that's going on. Why not accept and nurture something that has some kind of substance and something that's off? And being able to give all the disabled and...
Well, that part barely got explored. That was where it was going to go.
Yeah.
Into really deep territory with that and treating them like people.
These people on the set were so happy and lovely, and everyone treated them with such dignity. They couldn't wait. I mean, Nick Daly couldn't wait, and his family was wonderful. We adored and loved him and gave him the best stuff to do. So everybody was treated with such value, and you know, it's I'm very sad over it.
Is the season available online somewhere, Chris? You know,
I don't think it is right now.
It will be, I'm sure. Yeah. And I saw Ginger last night. Did you do scenes with her ever? Do you get to know her? Ginger was the girlfriend of Jim's.
I loved her. I mean, once again, we became friends over that.
Oh, so, I saw her.
At her birthday party.
Right.
And Sonia Eddy, who played Ramona, the caretaker of...
Oh, yeah. Yes. She was great.
All these people. Yeah. Like, phenomenal.
All right. So I'm going to take... Now, if people are not legit fans, they should be. But I'm going to take you to a more high-profile character you played, which is Frau Farbissina on Austin Powers.
Yeah.
When you were doing that, so this, let's describe her so people place her. You're at the table with Captain Evil, basically, most of the scenes.
I love that you called him Captain Evil. Dr. Evil. I love that he is a captain as well.
How dare you? You guys, don't turn your mics on and laugh when you laugh at me, okay?
It's so much more fun for the listeners.
I know, isn't it? Yeah. Please, everyone, laugh.
You ever heard of Jefferson Airship?
Did you say that?
Yes.
Oh, please.
We're older.
We all do that. Yeah. I do that. I'm going to say something that will embarrass me as well. No, that was by far one of the luckiest and best jobs I had, as well as legit, because I got to do three of them. My gosh, that just doesn't happen in Hollywood that often.
Yeah. But she was an important character in the –
she was
a memorable
important
character.
Yes, yeah. And I get more and more people that come up to me. And the biggest question I get asked, will there be more? Why not? Mm. Will there be more? Why not? I don't know. I wish. So, but that was incredible for me.
And before that, did people know you from anything?
No.
Yeah, that was
the Groundlings.
The Groundlings.
You know, so which you know, I still get to play with, and I still do improv with, and teach every now and then. But no, that opened doors for me. That gave me a name. That gave me something that people, you know, then went, oh, Mindy Sterling. Yeah.
Let me now. One thing about these podcasts, I like just sort of learning about people I'm talking to, and although this is the you guys help me on this, because this is the Adam and Drew podcast. This is not the Drew one. The Drew one, I kind of dig in on people.
I love digging in.
You're going to give me permission on Mindy? Does this audience dig that kind of thing, you think?
Unless everybody says, I don't care about Mindy.
Okay.
All right. And in the meantime, collect some calls for us, and we'll get some calls up.
Also, this one can be a little bit more topical, too.
This one?
Yeah.
Like what?
Well, like Ray Rice or...
Okay.
Who?
In the news, right. Yeah.
See?
Oh, okay, never mind.
Oh, no. Wow. Don't go into... Is it political?
It's a domestic violence story about an NFL player.
I'm sorry. I don't know any of that.
When you walk out of here, you'll hear about it. It's bad.
Oh God. No, I don't want anything bad.
Well, let me spend a few minutes on you then. So where'd you grow up?
I was raised in Miami, Florida. So I was born in New Jersey, raised in Miami, Florida. My father was Dick Sterling. He was a performer. Hmm. He was a singer and a comedian, and he worked with Shecky Green
for years. His name is familiar.
And then he worked with Sammy Shore. And he's passed on. But so he did clubs and things in Miami.
Did he do movies too?
Very little.
Was he like in Mad Men, Mad Mad World or something where they had
I think he was in like Tony Rome.
Okay.
And maybe a Flipper movie or something. But he was, he did more clubs.
Okay.
He's a club, yeah, club performer.
And he was
performer.
A singer-comedian.
He's a singer-comedian.
How interesting.
Yeah.
And did you tour with him or anything?
Oh,
or
my gosh,
you,
no.
No. Did you ever get to see much of what he was doing?
Is that when he would do clubs in Miami and I got older, I would go and he had the most amazing voice, very better than Robert Goulet. Mm. I mean, this incredible baritone voice, incredible singer. And I remember going to his shows in the beach and listening and watching him perform and just getting so emotional because he was so wonderful. And then, of course, I was like, the apple of his eye. So he would sing to me and just get so weepy. Oh. Yeah, so he was amazing.
And is that what lured you in, you think? Is that...
I think I was really just kind of a clown and I was very insecure and very shy as a little girl and, but a little goofy. And then I think in school it was like, oh my gosh, I can play somebody else and be someone else and, not worry about me. And that took me out of my shyness. So that's what I gravitated to was I could do plays and sing.
But improv is sort of exposing yourself. You went all the way.
Yeah, I got older and that I found that to be a really fun niche for me because I loved doing characters. I certainly loved talking. And,
was Frau Farbissen one of the improv characters?
I don't know. She may have been. There may have been an element, but, I met Mike Myers at the Groundlings doing improv. And he thought I was funny, and then he was doing an improv show to try to come up with these. He did Austin Powers. I don't know if he did Dr. Evil, but he did several characters, and he put me in the show and a couple of other people, Patrick Bristow and Steve Hibbert, I believe, and we worked around him. So I may have done a version of that, I don't remember.
How did that work? But what did he have you? I'm a little confused because you're doing improv, he's doing improv.
Well, I think his stuff might have been set, and maybe we were improvising around him.
I mean,
it was quite a while ago. If Patrick Bristow is listening or Steve Hibbert is listening, and you remember this, or Mike Myers, but I just remember working with him, performing with him.
What did you think about the character when it first popped up, Austin Powers?
Oh, it was hysterical. He made me laugh. He just totally made me laugh. Mike just absolutely makes me laugh. And so when I got the opportunity to audition and I read the script, I mean, I laughed out loud. And that doesn't really happen much. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You might have to read it a couple of times. But I literally laughed out loud. So when I went into audition, I remember calling my father and going, because he was great with dialects. Can you do a German dialect? How do I do a German dialect? And then he would do his way of doing it, and then I would try to do mine and kept thinking, oh, my God, I know I'm going to go off and do New York Jew. It's just going to fall right into that.
How'd you get it?
And then I went in and I auditioned.
Did you consult with somebody or anything? Or
what? To
forget a German accent?
My dad sort of, I tried to do what he was doing, then, whatever, and I went, look, I'm going to do what I do. It doesn't have to be perfect. And, you get the element of the German, I think, language is very, and same with Vietnamese, is a little violent sounding.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that going on. So I tried to get the element of that and the attitude, and that's what I brought to it. And I yell. I can yell, and when I yell, my voice goes up.
When you say he cracks you up, would he make you laugh out loud in the middle of a scene improvising, or would you be sort of internally laughing? Would he make you break?
I don't think I don't know if I laughed out loud, but I think we would smile. If I could make him laugh or smile, that was the biggest thrill for me because I just thought he was, oh, my God, this is Mike Myers.
This morning, and I think it's the New York Times. It might have been the LA Times, but in the I think it was a calendar section. Well, one of the arts section. I think it was the New York Times. There was an article about Young Frankenstein.
Mm-hmm.
It's 40 years old today or something.
Wow.
And they were interviewing or they were recounting an interview with Mel Brooks, and he was saying that he gave everyone on – I'm just thinking about laughter and breaking. He gave everyone on the cast and on the set a handkerchief, particularly those in the back behind. And he said, if you feel like laughing, put the handkerchief in your mouth or up to your
mouth.
That's
great.
And he said he knew he had a hit when the handkerchiefs were constantly going up during the scene.
What a great idea. Yeah, that's very funny. Well, and same thing with Austin Powers. The crew, we all had to hold our own. I mean, you can always cut. But at the minute – the director, Jay Roach, yelled cut.
People
the,
die.
Yeah, then you got, you know, so, yeah, and Mike knew. And Mike would just go on and on and on. So it would be action. He wouldn't just do the scene. He would add to it constantly. So that's how he would improvise. And you were there to just kind of go along with the ride. I wasn't there to create something different. I wasn't there to rewrite his script. But you would, I think we improvised the whole, yeah. Same thing with Mike and Seth, you know,
yeah.
That went on, and you'd constantly come up with different ways of shushing him. It was hysterical. I mean, just like giggling. Yeah, you're giggling now. So we all had to do that.
Yeah, Seth, who I've known forever, and Seth Green we're talking about, I've known forever. Oh, it's the LA Times calendar section. These guys found it already. God, you guys are good. This guy's good. Yeah, he had talked many times about, but he, it's funny. It's Seth, I don't, it was just fun for Seth. In other words, it wasn't, it didn't feel like as much, for you, it feels like this was like a challenging moment. Seth was just, we were just having fun with this guy named Mike. It's
like, yes. And he was, and Seth just was kind of a casual guy. He was kind of, from everything, was like, oh, this is a big deal.
Right.
For Mindy Sterling, you know, and
for
so
everybody.
I didn't get
that sense from Seth. He was just like playing the whole time.
Yeah. And he was, yes.
Is there a reason, you know, why there isn't more? I've heard stuff. I've heard
that. Tell me what you've heard.
I heard it's very painful for Mike to do these movies. He's a perfectionist, and he really drives himself crazy with them.
I think so. Yeah. I mean, I don't know any reasons. Knowing him and watching him, I know he is a perfectionist. He is a workaholic. And it's a labor of love, but it is a lot of work for him.
Yeah.
I know that he has a family now, and his life has changed.
That's exactly what I heard, that he wanted to spend more time with his family, and he's done it. And maybe
the pressure and the stress of doing a fourth, even though everybody wants it, everybody is going to put such, you know,
judgment.
Pressure.
Yeah.
Sure. I mean,
you think of that guy's success with Wayne's World.
Yeah.
I mean, these are franchise series. Whoever creates a series of films that succeed, you know, it's like,
that's what I'm saying.
Should he do more if he doesn't want to?
It's like sometimes you go, you know, I want to get out while it's a hit.
Yeah.
Before someone finds a reason to go, boy, they should have gotten out earlier. And so I understand that. Nothing would make me happier than to go out in my life with a fourth. But, you know, you certainly want to respect Mike for making that decision. And he does other, you know, he's doing other things. He just did a documentary. You don't know that on this manager. Gary, do you know who that is?
A famous manager?
Oh, really?
He's
a talent manager. He was
Bernstein?
Just on David Letterman talking about it. So look it up.
Now, you mentioned being a clown when you were a kid.
I wasn't a real clown. I didn't do birthday parties.
No,
but I was a goofy girl.
Clowny.
I was kind of goofy.
But I wonder if listeners are aware that a lot of the way women entered comedy was sort of, they had to be a clowny, like Phyllis Diller. They had to look clowny, act clowny. And it wasn't, the reason this is on my mind now is that Joan Rivers sort of changed that mode a bit. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely.
Tell me about that for you.
I think she found, same thing with Roseanne, they found a way to use themselves in a, all their imperfections or how women see the world and themselves. And yet, like, you know, Joan was attractive. I thought Joan was
absolutely.
Very attractive.
I think that's what was different.
Yeah. You know, she wasn't like the Phyllis Diller kooky.
Yeah.
And so Joan, I mean, she dressed in dresses. She dressed elegant. And so, and yet she would put herself down constantly and have fun with that. But it's so nice to see gorgeous, absolutely stunning and very pretty and attractive women get out there and see the world through their eyes and not
stand
be afraid.
Up, we're talking about stand-up.
Yeah, stand-up. And
did
not
you do stand-up?
I did not.
Who's your favorite stand-up now, female?
Oh, wow. And I'm a huge fan of Last Comic Standing. Mm. I love Michelle Buteau, who is this beautiful black woman. I love Judy Gold, who is a lovely, lovely lesbian. I love, oh my God, I have to think of some, Kathy Ladman. There's so many I have to, think through.
Isn't it interesting that there now you have too many to choose from? You got to pick.
There are so many. And I do gravitate to, I love stand-up comedy, good stand-up comedy, and I love watching it. So, you know, women that excite me, I'm so jazzed about that. I think that's really hard to do. I've never gotten into it because it would be all about me, and that makes me nervous. I always want a sidekick, or that's why I love improv. I can
be
very funny, but boy, I have to act it.
And is that and how did you get into the Groundlings? Is that where you went for your sort of formal training, or is that later?
When I first came out here? When I first came out here, I did improv a couple of other places, and then some of those people said you got to go to the Groundlings. So I went there, went through that program.
Did you go to college?
I went just to a 2-year junior college
in Miami.
Yeah, because I didn't know what to do. I was out of school, and I was like, well, I just want to act, and I don't want to go away to school, and so it was like, well then. I had people going to junior college. All right, I'm just going to go there, and I don't know what to do now. So I didn't want to do anything. I didn't want to get a degree. I didn't want to. So my mother said to me at the time, just take typing, just in case, to fall back.
Wow.
Yeah, which I thought was really smart, because when I came out here, I wasn't a waitress. I had to take receptionist jobs. I wasn't a great typer, but I was good. Hello. Hi. Can I help you? You know, I was a great host or on the phone.
Did you work anywhere interesting?
I worked a lot of media buying places. I worked in insurance. I had to work in places.
The answer to that question is no.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, stuff that, you know, I mean, I liked the people there. But I remember when I first started, I wouldn't tell them I was an actress. And then once they liked me, I'd be like, oh, by the way, I'm an actress. And I try to go out on things. I'll come back and do my work and stuff. But I may have to, okay. And then it would come down to it. It wasn't okay.
Yeah. So you'd have to quit.
Or be fired.
Yeah. Gary put up here, J.J. Harris. Is that the name of the guy who did the documentary about?
Maybe. I mean, you probably know his name.
Is he a famous manager or something? What do you guys – you just get on the mic. Don't type me.
Yeah, he's a famous manager who just recently died. I'm looking for the other one that I'm thinking of. Give me
I don't know. I mean, look under – you know, Mike Myers' documentary, if you're already looking that way. I don't know if that's the name. I think he's a big Jew guy.
You know what? Let's take a break and we'll come back with
that. Yeah, I'm going to take a break. We'll come back with that information and then we'll start taking calls. Be right back.
Awesome.
Allison Rosen. Hey, everyone. It's me, Allison, from Allison Rosen is Your New Best Friend. I'm sitting here with
Christina Pajitsky,
this week's guest. Christina, why should they listen this week?
Well, Allison, we're going to cover things like why weddings are secretly terrible.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get into therapy with you and me.
That's right.
I'm going to talk about my crazy mom.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about getting knocked up, knocking boots. We're going to talk about yogurts.
Custom-made couches that are more comfortable than anything else.
Mattresses.
That's right. A lot of hanging out, a lot of lounging, and a little bit of flatulence.
There you go.
All right, you guys, make sure to listen. Subscribe to Allison Rosen is Your New Best Friend on iTunes or go to AllisonRosen.com. New episodes every Monday and Thursday. I love you.
Allison's your new best friend.
The Art of Charm. Love this podcast. These are entrepreneurs that help tens of thousands of men all over the world become extraordinary. Gary, what do you know?
I know these guys, actually. They're a couple college kids who realize they had a way with the ladies, and they like to pass that knowledge on to other dudes. So they have.
Why pass it along, man? If I was in college, that's a hypothetical, if I had a way with the ladies, another wild leap of the imagination, I would play it very close to the to the vest.
As would I, but these guys are paying it forward.
Fun and educational. Personal growth doesn't have to be boring. Brings together entrepreneurs, artists, thinkers, leaders, interesting people to discuss relationships, attraction, and success. Go to theartofcharmpodcast.com or find The Art of Charm on iTunes or Stitcher and start taking things to the next level. We enjoy this show. We know you're going to enjoy it as well. DraftKings, baby. Fantasy football. It's back. DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-week fantasy football site. Oh, man, love me some football season. Get a piece of the $5 million. That's right, $5 million being awarded this week. You already scouted the players for the season-long team. Turn that into instant cash now. Last year, guy turned $11 into $4,000 in one weekend. Another guy won $1 million in one day. Do the math over a year. He's rich by now. DraftKings.com. Drew.
DraftKings.com. Bigger events, bigger winnings, bigger millionaires. Use promo code Adam, and you'll get free entry into the week one $5 million kickoff bash. Enter Adam for free entry now at DraftKings.com. That is DraftKings.com.
Stamps.com. Mailing, shipping. No win, man. Go to the post office. Takes a bunch of time. Smells weird. You got to lease a postage meter. That's expensive. There's a better way. Stamps.com. Buy and print official U.S. postage with your own computer and printer. It's like magic. Save up to 80% compared to postage meters and no trips to the post office ever again. Special offer. Enter the promo code ADS. You get a no-risk trial. $110 bonus offer. Includes a digital scale. Plug it right in the computer. Put your parcel on it. Like magic, right out of your printer, the exact amount that it's going to cost to ship. Plus, $55 free postage. Go to stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the microphone on the top of the homepage. Type in ADS. ADS. That's stamps.com. Promo code ADS.
Welcome back to the Adam and Drew Show. Yes, my special guest sitting in for Adam Carolla today. Gary, when is Adam coming back? Never?
I may be here forever.
Mindy Sterling is the permanent. No, Mindy Sterling is here today. You know her. You'll know her immediately if you look her up online. You see her IMDb and think of Frau Farbissina or the mom on Legit. She's immediately somebody you know. And I guarantee you love her work. There's no way people don't love your work.
Oh, thank you.
There's no way.
Thank you.
Shep Gordon maybe is this guy.
Maybe. That sounds, yeah, that sounds like a very charactery name.
Chris, how can we never promote our LP on this this particular podcast?
Because Adam's usually here.
All right, well, let's go for this. Chris and I have put together a series of albums that you can get at DrDrew.com that we talk about on the Dr. Drew podcast all the time. They're sort of theme music for – they're sort of based on Mad Men. You'll love these.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the Mad Men music. Because we were talking one day about – I think this is how this all evolved – about how Mad Men is so accurate that I can see the sparkling on the ceiling from the cottage cheese when I watched that show. And the music of that era was very specific too.
Oh, interesting.
Stuff like this. This just reminded me of these.
So this is the kind of music you would find in Target.
It was Target. It'd also be in your mom's, your girlfriend's mom's. You remember those record players that were big bureaus?
Yes.
They usually had these big pieces of furniture were record players.
Oh, yes.
Giant. And this kind of stuff would be playing in the evening, always. Or at parties.
While
and
you're
stuff.
Having
Give
wine.
Give me another one. Give me another. This is yes, the cocktail party sound. Give me another
these
one.
These are fabulous.
Yeah. Give us the, what about the opening
jazz.
Sequence? Yes, from our show. Because this was the one that got us going. There. And it was very Austin Powers-y.
Very.
Yeah, so that's what got me going on this.
Oh, these are great. And these are albums that people could buy and they don't know about it?
That's right. And then we did a summer one. Let's do this through the poolside one.
Oh, no, these are fabulous.
Right? They actually
I could
take
clean to this.
And then we did one for the holidays coming up. Right? Don't we have a third one? This is for the holiday parties.
Oh, this is very, very Austin Powers.
So go to
now, why do we say album? Isn't it CD?
What do we call this?
Well, actually, they're digital downloads, so
yeah,
LP.
They're long playing digital downloads. They have like 14 selections on them.
Okay.
And they're good. Chris and I spent a lot of time working on them, and thank you to Russell for helping us find the music and putting it all together.
Russell at Extreme Music.
Yeah, so go. Where would they go? They go iTunes?
DrDrew.com. They'll have the iTunes link, the Amazon link, and the Google Play
and
link.
It's called the Swingin' Sounds of the Dr. Drew podcast.
Right, yeah, it's right there on
that.
The very homepage.
Very cool.
And you will support the Parola Pirate Ship as well. Don't forget to click on the Amazon banner and support the people that support this show. All right, so here's what we're going to do, Mindy. We're going to take some calls. Let's go right to it. We knew this Ray Rice thing, rather, would not stay away from us long. So, Michael, what's up? 23, Colorado.
Hi, Dr. Drew. How you doing?
Actually, I'm coming to Denver next week. I've got a. I was going to do an interview with the Denver Post, and the pot guy wanted to interview me. I'm like, why? You're the pot editor. I was like, well, I don't care. Enjoy yourselves, everybody. Why do you have to pin me to the – anyway, go ahead, Michael. What's going on?
Yeah, long-time listener, first-time caller.
Yeah.
But before I ask my question, I wanted to know, did you see the original video from outside – from the footage outside – of the elevator with the Ray Rice thing?
I didn't. I know it was available first. You know what I mean? I know it was something that everyone had seen before, and the fascination or the outrage developed when the footage inside the elevator was released by TMZ Sports.
I'm so lost. Yeah. Michael, help me.
Tell him what happened.
So the footage, I think it was Monday morning, it got released of what happened inside the elevator of Ray Rice knocking his now fiance unconscious.
Can you imagine? And I mean, it was violent.
Yeah, and my question, Dr. Drew, is I don't understand why the video all of a sudden has made the crime so much worse than it originally was.
What do you think?
Like, what did people expect to see inside the elevator? And I'm not backing Rice whatsoever. I want to make that clear. I'm totally against this. And
Minnie and Drew are watching the first video now.
There it is, Minnie. Okay. Watch. This is the one where they look at her.
The first video.
He just dragged her out of the elevator and flopped her on the ground.
This is his drunk wife?
No, well, fiance watch. Well, hold on. It's his fiance at the time. And in a minute, we'll show you what actually happened in the elevator. Can you play the original, the new one?
Yep.
Okay, so watch that. Okay. So she's unconscious. He dragged her out of the elevator. Look at her. She's really unconscious. I mean.
Oh, yeah. She's like out.
And then this, and, all right, go to the other one now. Let's flick over. Now we sort of show you how that happened. So they, here it comes. All right, here we go.
And that man standing there was a security guard?
Or? Somebody worked at the
hotel.
Somebody
worked there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay,
here, all right, here we go.
Here's this now getting in the elevator.
Oh, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah, yeah. It's good times. Sorry, Michael. We're just getting, we want to get everyone to see this. We'll put it up on the side.
Oh, no problem.
Gary's having a little technical trouble. Here we are. TMZ Sports. So here they are. They're fighting. They're walking around. Here they come. They get in the elevator. They fight.
She's yelling at him.
Boom. Just knocks her out. Just completely blasts her. Boom.
And then drags her out of the elevator.
Watch. You see that part too in this. It's really, it's disturbing.
Oh, my God.
And then just sort of drops her on the ground. I mean,
And doesn't rush to get help. Doesn't nothing.
I mean, that's a medical emergency.
And so, Mindy, after this footage was released.
Watch. Hang on a second. Boom.
Oh, my God. And leaves her feet out.
Gets the shoe.
Like, I don't know what to do. I'm going to get in trouble now.
Anyway, so this was released yesterday.
This was released. He's now been dropped from his
football team. He was initially, after the first video came out, the NFL suspended him for 2 games. And then a lot of the world went crazy and said that's insane when they suspend people for 6 games for smoking weed. And then this video came out, and the team that he played for immediately suspended his contract, and then the NFL suspended him indefinitely.
And somebody
is he in jail?
No.
No.
And he probably won't go to jail. This woman ended up marrying him after this.
Married him, and then she claimed she had a role to play in this.
They said it was mutual combat.
When was this? When?
It was a year.
February.
Oh, yeah. This was a year ago?
January, February. It was about 9 months ago.
He's been in a year-long program of some type, but you can't find anything about what it was. None of it's okay.
So who released this?
TMZ Sports got their hands on it somehow.
So because they have insiders. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't like, oh my God.
And that's when everyone. And so what Michael is asking,
right?
Why now the outrage? Why not before? Why is it so much worse now? And Michael, to be fair, I mean when you see it, it cuts through to you a little bit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then so people are reacting emotionally, and then they're coming after the NFL.
Well, and nobody saw it a year ago or whenever
it was.
Well,
they saw what happened out. See, they saw that first one where they see her dragging out the elevator, and everyone assumed, oh, what happened? Oh, it was violence. They just couldn't get their head around it. I think now the vividness of this one made it obvious.
Well, very, as to what happened, sure.
So, Michael, I think it's just an emotional reaction. You're right. Philosophically and intellectually, it shouldn't have been any different. And there's still aspects of it, even now having seen this, that you got to shake your head. Like, why isn't the legal system been more involved with this? And
exactly.
Why does anyone allow this? And by the way, I did this on HLN. I have a show on HLN. You got to come on my HLN show.
I would love to.
Okay. Because we've had the whole legit cast.
Oh, great.
There.
Okay.
What was striking to me when we reported the story is our Twitter went wild with women. 98% of the attacks made on the victim were by women, saying she deserved it, she participated, she married him anyway, I have no patience for her. Now that he's lost his job, now she'll probably have nothing to do with him, so the punch wasn't enough, but it's about the money. You know, a lot of really negative stuff directed at the victim. It was very stunning.
Interesting.
So there was a lot, Michael, to be learned from this. You know, the NFL doesn't take this stuff very seriously until they have to.
Sure.
Exactly.
But, the legal system, if you have lots of money and get good representation, here we go again.
Yep.
Number two. Number three, victim blaming and bashing is alive and well.
Yep.
And four, the way these two stood up and talked about it, Gary and Chris, you may appreciate this. Did you see their press conference about it? He's like, she's like, well, you know, shit happens, and he was like, well, I'm a man, I got to stand up to this, take my consequence. It was so matter of fact. It was clear this was something that they just, well, this is what happens in relationships, and you know, what are you gonna do? And you gotta be careful, as opposed to this is like near murder.
Well,
this is criminal.
And she is, you know, I mean, she's a battered wife. I mean, you think that's just one episode of their relationship? It's like
no way.
Rihanna and Chris Brown. Are you kidding me?
Right.
No, it doesn't just go once and it goes away.
No, it's a syndrome. It's a pattern. It exactly right.
And she's scared. She doesn't, you know, the money, this was probably going to change the relationship.
Yeah.
But the idea that it is so poo-pooed and, yeah, you know what? Stuff comes back to get you.
Yeah.
Sorry. It just does, everybody. In some way, shape, or form, karma.
So, Michael, what's your thought?
I don't know. I just think that from after the new video came out, the action shows that we as a society don't just take, or the NFL doesn't take domestic abuse as seriously as it should be. Like, the first time it should have been handled the first time, and that should have been that. You know,
you're right. Both the society and the NFL. That's right. And I think there may be I'll be interested to hear what our social media, how they respond to this. But generally, crimes against women, we're sort of weirdly ambivalent about, I think. We get weird. We want to defend it. We want to be macho about it. But then we get kind of like victim blaming and slut blaming. And
oh, yeah.
We really kind of – like the other – Christy Mack got beat up by the MMA guy.
Yeah.
That's another one where everyone blamed her. She was nearly killed by this guy.
She started it. Well, she pissed me off.
The whole story's not out yet. Wait to hear the whole story. It's like, no. Why is it different? Why would it be any different if you picked up a gun and started firing at her? Why would we say that's different?
Yeah, she pushed my buttons. I mean, you hello.
So, Michael, good call, and thank you for bringing it up. I'll give you the last word.
It's disturbing to me that she went on her Instagram last night, I think it was, and apologized for all the negativity it's bringing to her eyes. And that's just very irksome to me. Like, I don't understand. But, you know,
do you have some personal involvement with all this? Do you family or your mom?
My mom. Well, it was before I was born, but I know it happened to my mom, so it's kind of irksome. But, you know, I don't know why she would go on Instagram and apologize for her husband's, you know, wrongdoing when it was against her herself.
How did your mom get better? Because she does have some healing she has to do too to not repeat the pattern. So how did she get better?
She honestly just left the guy. It was one guy.
Yeah.
She left the guy, and that was then I met my dad, and that was that.
All right, Mike. Thanks for the call, buddy.
So,
bye, Mike.
Have a good day.
Okay, it's an interesting call. This is Patrick, 27 Fresno.
Dr. Drew.
Hey, buddy. Let's get it on.
Get it on. I've called a few times, so you'll probably remember me, but I'm not going to go into all that stuff.
Well, I don't right now, so keep going.
Yeah, I talked to you and Brad about, it's kind of embarrassing, but HPV, and then I talked to you and Doc Gooden when I was getting off of Valium and Suboxone.
Okay.
Ringing a bell. Well, anyway, I've been having really bad anxiety because I quit smoking pot a couple months ago. And I've been to a few doctors, and they've basically prescribed me various things such as Tripadol, Vistaril, Abilify, and Zoloft. And like I said, I had had a prescription of diazepam for a couple years, and that was basically the only thing that ever really worked for my anxiety, which was like social, generalized.
Patrick, what are you doing for your recovery, dude? Come on now. What's going on?
Well,
nothing.
I haven't been taking anything. I've been completely off everything.
What have you been doing for your recovery? You've called us multiple times. I've told you what to do. What are you doing? An addict who stops using and does not get involved in the program will be shattered by anxiety.
Right. So, I tried to go, and I had too much anxiety when I was there.
Go, get a sponsor. Go three times a day. Meet people. Take commitments. Get it going. Here we go. Let's go. Now, some of the medicines that they've offered you is good for social anxiety, like the Celexa and the stuff like that, you know, sertraline or whatever, if you really want to take something. But otherwise, that's a very welcoming environment. Tell them how anxious you are, and they will help you. they understand what it is to be an addict and have severe anxiety. They get it. They all have been there or are there right now. They're having the same experience you're having.
I know, it just feels like it's more of a chemical thing. And
well, it's how long have you been off benzos?
Maybe 6 months.
Yeah, it's for the first year, it's terrible. It is a chemical thing. And you really can't take much for it. I mean, you could take some Neurontin. That's the one. You can take high doses of Neurontin. That's the one thing you can take. So you can talk to your doctor about that. And it will help. It will help you with the withdrawal and stuff. Because the benzo withdrawal, with the way you've been doing your thing, and with the pot now withdrawal, which is horribly anxiety-provoking, and no sleep, and mood lability, and irritability, and paranoia, all that stuff comes when you come off the pot. Yes, you need some help with that. Zyprexa helps with that, with the pot withdrawal, and Neurontin will help with the benzo withdrawal. You can tell your doctor that. But if you don't go to meetings, you're going to – it's just – this is not going anywhere. Okay?
All right, I'll go.
All right, buddy. Good luck. But talk to your about Zyprexa for the cannabis withdrawal if you need it. But I'm more enthusiastic that you should take the Neurontin because that will really help you. High-dose Neurontin. Mindy, you're quiet.
I got to stop smoking pot.
It's good time.
No.
Well, if you stop, you'll have that withdrawal thing.
Oh, I don't want to know.
Maybe you should just keep
going.
Thinking
about that.
Keep going. Bill, what's up? Bill from Buffalo. Buffalo Bill.
Hey, Dr. Drew. Hey, Mindy.
Hi.
I actually spoke to you, Dr. Drew, probably about 2 months ago. I'm going through a custody dispute. And my ex, it's undiagnosed, but she's quite obviously
borderline.
Bipolar.
She was borderline,
yeah,
right?
Maybe borderline.
Yeah.
I definitely think so.
Yeah. All right.
So, I mean, there's been a couple of incidents in the last, like, probably 3 weeks where her family now realizes what I've realized this whole time. They're no longer against me. And so I'm kind of just at a point where the gist of your advice at that time was to kind of ride it out and see what kind of middle ground could be accomplished. And that's where I was settling anyway. But now with these new developments, I really feel like she's possibly on the edge of a nervous breakdown. And I'm wondering if stage an intervention with somebody
Bill,
like this?
Bill, hey, we're having trouble tracking you. You were all over the place there. What, yeah.
How many kids do you have?
Just one.
And you start at the beginning again. She has borderline. The family's beginning to realize she's borderline. And she's reaching some sort of crisis point?
Well, I mean, she's gone from being completely dead set against me, like trying to demand like visitation or supervised visitations for me,
right,
to being willing to give me full custody now.
Okay,
and from what I've gathered, it's because her new other doesn't want anything to do with the child.
Okay.
She had a huge blow up with her mom. I mean, basically, like I said, everybody, I was there with the blow up. I mean, she basically blew up on her mom and started accusing her of doing a lot of illegal things that she really wasn't doing.
Okay, so borderlines have unregulated rage. And when they get stressed, they get paranoid. So you're describing you're describing all that. And so what? How can we help today?
Well, I'm basically wondering if can you state now that the rest of her family sees this in her,
mm-hmm,
or she's no longer got the wool over their eyes.
Right?
Can you stage an intervention with somebody like this, or do I have
to do
her?
What?
I had a friend
intervention to do what?
To get some professional help.
Oh, borderline. How old is she?
I mean, she's 34 as well.
It's really not easy to treat borderline. This dialectical behavioral therapy, and you need her to be.
Is she on anything?
Engaged in the treatment. Is she taking medication or drugs?
She was diagnosed with ADD, which I know is a common misdiagnosis.
Everybody is.
But that's part of borderline. Yeah, having.
Okay.
The,
yeah. So I mean, so she's only on Adderall, as far as I know.
Oh Jesus, that's not a good idea. That'll make her worse. So that might be part of the problem. Is there alcoholism or addiction in her family anywhere?
Oh yeah, in her family.
Okay, so
she had my time with her. She binged a little bit
alcohol
when she drank, but she does not have.
I would worry about the Adderall with her, making her worse and maybe even triggering addiction. But anyway, that's a separate issue. You should use the court to leverage it. You know, to say that if she wants to see her kids, she's got to use your lawyers, use your court, the court to leverage it. Because an intervention, getting everybody together. She could get paranoid in the middle of that, and it's just sort of, there aren't, I don't.
Who has the kid?
I do. Well, right, I mean, I've had him a lot more off lately.
I would use whatever leverage you have, but getting somebody in an intervention setting, it's not really for the treatment of personality disorders. You know what I mean? You can try to cajole her, help her, lead her to treatment, but it doesn't work. Borderline, you know, personality disorder treatment is a long-term treatment on a regular, ongoing basis. It's not you go somewhere and get treated so much. Okay? So okay. I would use the courts to mandate some kind of...
Especially when there's a kid involved. I think that that's like the scariest. Yeah,
keep it safe, because borderlines can
be... You're protecting the kid.
I just noticed you were in the Raising Hope.
Yes.
Did you like working with that cast? I love that show.
Yes.
That was a great ensemble.
Really, yes. Yeah. Really, really fun people. Oh, yeah. Funny, insane, crazy. Yeah.
All right. Mindy Sterling, thank you for sitting in for Mr. Carolla.
Thank you.
We'll do it again.
All right.
Because Carolla is still being being a little
lax. He's on vacation.
He's not on vacation. He's busy. He's got movies and his documentary.
Oh.
And movies that he doesn't invite either you nor I into. Or maybe everyone was in it. Maybe you were in it, too. I don't know.
I don't know.
And when's he coming back, Gary?
Okay, October-ish.
Oh, my God.
This doesn't change. This has got to be so weird for the listeners, because every week you ask, and every week I say the same thing, and every week is just a surprise.
No, because sometimes you go, I don't know, 2015, like, what? And you go, well, it could be next week.
I never said it's going to be this next week. He doesn't wrap Contractor until early October, and then I've told you that there's several weeks of pickups.
Please don't get angry,
and he can't
Carrie.
Get in here one morning a week, or we can reset,
But how fun
you get,
you have
guests. Why don't you and I call him? Maybe for the next show, we'll call him and ask him.
You want to do that?
No.
But you we'll get guests. You get people that you want.
Oh, I love it.
So enjoy
we end up with
Shut
Jim.
Up.
We end up with Mindy. Maybe next week we'll get Dan and DJ. We're going to do
it. Oh, I love it.
We're saving legit, all right?
I love it.
Carolla can stay away for as long as he wants. We're going to save legit, goddammit.
I'm indulging myself and you. I just hope the listeners are as into this as I am. So.
He'll be back as soon as physically possible. And there will be weeks where he won't have Contractor, and we'll get him back in here.
What's he doing for the ACS show? Is he doing those?
Yes.
What the fuck?
Your schedule is not as flexible as ACS. For ACS, he's got 9 people here who he just tells to jump, and we all show up at whatever time he wants.
Wow. Give me a chance, and I'll see what I can do. But put that in the mix, will you?
Okay.
All right.
Thank you, Mindy. Calm down. Thank you.
It's all good. It's a friendly family. All right. That's it for them, Dr. Drew Show. Mindy Sterling, thank you so much.
Thank you.
We'll see you, Mindy, next time. We'll see you next time. In the meantime, Dr. Drew, on behalf of Adam Carolla, saying mahalo.
This is Carolla Digital.